Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. For this Monday, you could see a chance of flurries early, then clearing skies around 50. Winds will be from the north between 5 and 10. Tonight, mostly clear, lower 30s. Winds will be from the southwest at around 5 miles an hour. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, highs around 60. Tomorrow night, mostly clear in the mid-30s. For Wednesday, we'll continue with sunny skies, mild temperatures at 60 degrees. Right now, it's 30.
Kansas Mid-America Network News. Good Monday. The Kansas Highway Patrol says five people died, one person injured when two vehicles collided on I-70 west of Topeka yesterday. The State Patrol says the crash happened around 6:30 yesterday morning when a Ford pickup truck was eastbound in the westbound lanes and collided with a van near Maple Hill. The crash happened about 25 miles west of Topeka on I-70. The driver of the truck and four people in the van died at the scene. One other person in the van taken to the hospital in critical condition. The names of the crash victims not immediately released. In Lyon County, a man was found deceased near railroad tracks yesterday. The Lyon County Sheriff's Office responded just after 11 o'clock yesterday morning to the report of a train versus pedestrian accident. KWCH-TV reports that on scene, deputies found the man dead on site, his name not being released until family members are notified. And forecasters say after a cooler start, this week will warm up. Mid-America Network News.
Midland Genetics offers one of the most complete lineup of sedan grasses and forages you'll find anywhere for your summer grazing, hang, or silage needs. For kiddings, DMRs, slow to period sensitive, and conventional. We have them all. Be sure to book early as supplies are limited on some lines. We also have a good selection of pearl millets. To enhance the feed quality, don't forget to blend the cowpeas or the mung beans to your forages at planting time. Kaufman Seeds, 800-634-2836.
AARP is now accepting applications for its Community Challenge Grants. These grants are aimed at sparking change and improving communities for people of all ages. They're open to eligible nonprofits, governmental organizations, and others. The AARP Community Challenge can fund innovative projects related to transportation, public spaces, smart cities, housing, and civic engagement to help build and improve great communities right here in Kansas. To learn more and apply by April 1st, visit aarp.org/communitychallenge.
A motorcycle rider who was escorting the body of a World War II veteran died after he lost control of his motorcycle in western Kansas. And a second deadly crash happened minutes later when a car crashed into a fire truck responding to the first crash. The Kansas Highway Patrol said the motorcycle crash happened on I-70 in Gove County shortly after 7 o'clock Saturday evening. The second crash happened a few minutes later. The motorcycle driver identified as 65-year-old Lenny Riedel of Colby. The car's driver was 81-year-old Cal Silverance of Fredericksburg, Virginia. The number of suicides in Kansas has increased by more than half in recent years, particularly in the northwest rural areas of the state. Kansas News Service reports that mental health professionals say the geographical isolation, low population, and struggling economy in parts of Kansas are challenges increasing suicide risk. Kansas overall had 555 suicides in 2018, the highest rate in 20 years. Mid-America Network News.
Home. It's your safe haven. It's where you raise your family and create memories that last a lifetime. Blue Valley Insurance can help you protect this prized possession with homeowners insurance that fits your priorities and your budget. With a variety of homeowners coverage options, you can rest easy knowing your home and those who live and visit there are protected. When you're confident you have the coverage you need, you can focus on those little moments that matter. See Blue Valley Insurance in Lynn, Greenleaf, Hanover, and Marysville.
Nebraska Mid-America Network News. Good Monday. For the second time in a week, a Nebraska State Prison's employee has been arrested on suspicion of unauthorized communication with an inmate. State prison officials said in a news release that 20-year-old Carly Broadfoot, a corporal at the Nebraska Correctional Youth Facility in Omaha, was arrested Friday on the felony count. Officials say Broadfoot had been employed at the facility since October and will be fired. On Tuesday, 58-year-old Brenda Alvarado, a chemical dependency counselor at the Omaha Correctional Center, was arrested on the same charge. A Hay Springs woman has been named to the Nebraska State College Board of Trustees. Governor Pete Ricketts selected Margene Terrell to complete the term vacated by Michelle Suarez in December. The legislature will hold a committee hearing, debate, and vote to confirm that appointment. with your Monday Nebraska News on the Mid-America Network. I'm Rick Averett.
Hey guys, Sam Speck here, your farm broadcaster at the Mid-America Ag Network, reminding you that pickup trucks aren't just for farmers and ranchers anymore. Now they're used for everyday driving, and the comfort and fuel economy of the new Ford F-150 is better than ever. If you're in the buying mode, do yourself a favor and see Rusty Yak Ford in Wichita. Now's the time to trade in that old truck for a brand new Ford at Rusty Yak. Rusty Yak Ford has the state's largest selection of Ford trucks on the lot, which makes it easy to find the exact truck that any farmer, rancher, construction worker, or even mom might be looking for. And right now, the savings will never be better. Right now at Rusty Yak, you get $3,000 off the MSRP, and you keep the rebate. Over 300 trucks on the lot, financing available, and a parts and service department that will take care of any issue you might have. Truck buying made easy at Rusty Yak Ford. Head online and take a look at the huge selection at RustyYakFord.net or stop by the lot at 7310 East Kellogg in Wichita. Call Rusty Yak Ford today at 316-785-9211.
Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. Marshall County Commissioners met last Monday. Commissioner Barb Kiekaford received 3 phone calls offering property sites to build a new jail on. One call suggesting we consider housing all prisoners at other jail facilities on a permanent basis. Commissioner Keith Bramhall had several positive comments about moving the jail to a remote location for construction. Partnership for Growth proposed gifting a 5.5-acre piece of land to Marshall County, located just outside the city limits of Marysville, north of Kennequip, for construction of a new jail facility. The group has the option to purchase land just east of this, which has access to water, and they would be willing to exercise that option to assist providing water to the property. There's also a parcel of land owned by Cope Development in the same area that could be purchased by the county to construct the jail. Sheriff Hargrave said there are pros and cons to moving the jail away from the current location. Hargrave feels some of the challenges could include personnel to transport inmates to the court for hearings, increase in employees, and as always, safety issues with transports. Partnership Director Ellen Barber said she is looking into eligibility and funding to possibly help develop roads in the area. There is sometimes state funding for these types of projects, as well as the possibility of federal funding. No action was taken regarding the jail or this proposal. Cruzy Dozer Service was awarded a $146,000 contract to dig a construction and demolition pit at the county landfill this spring. The board discussed options for repairing a bridge north of Waterville with consensus to pursue a cost-share option if available. Washington County Commissioners, their February 18th meeting, unanimously voted to declare Washington County a Second Amendment sanctuary. The resolution was adopted to help protect gun owners' rights in the event state or federal laws change in the future. A similar act was passed by the Kansas Legislature in 2013 and adopted then by several counties as well. County evaluations are going out this week. Washington County Township meeting will be March 19th at the Firehouse in Washington. Following a special meeting last Wednesday, Nemahal County Commissioners advised that after reviewing final documents associated with construction of a Soldier Creek wind farm, a motion was passed unanimously to approve the road use and maintenance agreement, decommissioning, development, complaint resolution agreement, and the contribution agreement as presented. Meeting last Monday, Nemahal County Commissioners approved purchase of a new storm siren for Burn at a cost of $12,000. Gage County Board of Supervisors received the Highway Superintendent's recommendation on the bid for the Gage County 2020 overlay for asphalt projects, awarding the bid to Pavers, Inc. of Waverly for $2,698,000, which comes to approximately $262,000 per mile. A motion to that effect passed unanimously. A motion amending the agreement between Gage County and the townships to grant an additional 1 mile of rock or gravel per township for both the spring and fall allotments for 2020 was approved due to the needs expressed at the annual township meeting. Leonard Frinson spoke during a public hearing on the 1- and 6-year proposed highway improvement plan with comments regarding the quality of rock for roads and the taxes raised by the sales tax for the Beatrice 6 judgment. The proposal was then passed as presented. Another public hearing was held for comments on a special use permit for locating an ag assembly building in Lincoln Township. Dan Crawford spoke in favor, and that measure was passed unanimously. This week is Severe Weather Awareness Week, and there will be a statewide tornado drill conducted Tuesday, March 3rd at 10 a.m. Annual Severe Storm Spotters Training is scheduled in Washington County Tuesday, March 24th at 7 p.m. at the Firehouse in Washington. In Marshall County, Wednesday, March 25th at 7 p.m. at the Helvering Center in Marysville. And in Nemaha County, Monday, March 30th, 7 p.m. at the Community Center in Seneca. Ronald R. Clay, age 75, of Hollenburg, passed away February 14th. A celebration of life gathering is planned Saturday, March 7th, 4 until 6 p.m. at the Hanover American Legion. Again, the Hanover Mortuary in charge of arrangements March 7th for Ronald Clay. Mark Wassenberg, age 58, of Marysville, passed away Thursday. Funeral service Friday, 10:30 at St. Gregory's Catholic Church, Marysville. Burial in the church cemetery. Rosary Thursday evening at 7 at the church. Visitation Thursday, 10 until 5 at Kinsley Mortuary of Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Mark Wassenberg. Lorraine E. Berger, age 88, passed away Monday. Funeral service next Saturday, March 7th at 2 p.m. at the Berean Church in Marysville. Visitation next Friday, March 6th from 10 until 9. Family receive friends from 5 until 7 at Kinsley Mortuary of Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Lorraine Berger. Clarence Leroy Adolph Jr., age 94, of Marysville, passed away Friday. Funeral service Tuesday, 10 a.m. at Marysville Christian Fellowship. Burial in the Marysville City Cemetery. Visitation today, 10 until 9. Family will see friends this evening, 6 until 8, at Kinsley Mortuary, Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Clarence Leroy Adolph Jr. On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch Menu today, chicken strips, a biscuit, yams, peas, and fruit cocktail. Tomorrow, smothered steak, wheat bread, mashed potatoes, zucchini, tomatoes, and mandarin oranges. KNDY News Time is 7:16.
At United Bank and Trust, we get it. Bank hours don't always fit into your schedule. With the United Bank and Trust mobile banking app, you can bank anytime, anywhere. At home, at work, or anywhere in between, you can perform convenient and secure transactions like mobile check deposit, transfer money between accounts, or see your balance instantly. Find it by searching for United Bank and Trust mobile app in your app store. Mobile banking with United Bank and Trust. It's banking for your way of life. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Michael Glowinski, principal of Good Shepherd Lutheran School in Marysville, a Kansas State accredited school. From three-year-old preschool through eighth grade, our highly trained staff and small class size provide students with the essential skills for success in the 21st century. New student enrollment begins on April 1st, but if you are the parent of a preschool or kindergarten-age student, I would like to invite you to join us on March 3rd from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. for a special enrollment event. The evening includes tours of our school, open discussion time with the preschool and kindergarten teachers, and a light supper. See you there!
Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. Looking at the surface map across the central parts of the Midwest, we have a low pressure system and a cold front pushing through the east central parts of the Midwest, ahead of it bringing some showers and thunderstorms from Missouri, Illinois on over into the east. Behind it, we're seeing a little bit of some scattered snow showers across the central parts of the Rockies and some areas of the central parts of the Midwest. Otherwise, that will end and a high pressure system will move in, bringing us quiet weather. We're really going to see quiet weather, sunny skies over the next few days, and we'll continue with these mild temperatures. So looking at the forecast for today, could see a little bit of some light snow flurries early, then clearing skies around 50. Winds will be from the north between 5 and 10. Tonight, mostly clear, lower 30s. Winds will be from the southwest at around 5 miles an hour. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, high of 60. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, and Wednesday will continue with sunny skies at 60. That's your forecast. I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Average high temperature early March, 45. Record high in the state, 79 in 1992. The average low, 22, and the record low is 2 below 0 in 2014. Sunset this evening at 6:20, sunrise in the morning at 6:57. 31 degrees in Marysville this morning. Winds are light, favoring the northwest. That's check in the morning news and weather. For this Monday, the 2nd of March, KNDY News Time is 7:19. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
LeBron posts big numbers in the Big Easy. Hello, this is Rich Cantu on sports. In the NBA last night, LeBron James put up a triple-double in New Orleans as the Lakers beat Zion Williamson and the Pelicans for the second time in less than a week.
LeBron's got it on the right wing, one-on-one against Zion. Three-pointer by LeBron. It's good! LeBron for three!
On ESPN LA 710, 34 points for James as Los Angeles wins 122-114 despite a career-high 35 points from Williamson. Nikola Jokic had a triple-double as well, scoring 23 and grabbing 18 boards to lead the Nuggets past the Raptors 133-118. And the Clippers got 30 from Kawhi Leonard as they topped the 76ers 136-130 for their fourth straight win.
Leonard with a right-handed dribble, pulls up at the free throw line. Leonard cans it! Kawhi Leonard!
On KLAC, Philadelphia was without Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, but got 39 points from Shake Milton in the losing effort. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 41 points and 20 rebounds to lead the Bucks past the Hornets, 93-85.
Giannis, posting, poked at, spinning, fading, jump shot, nailed it!
On WTMJ, in college hoops, number 23 Ohio State rallied to down 19th-ranked Michigan, 77-63. 11th-ranked Louisville used a strong second half en route to a 68-52 victory over Virginia Tech. Unranked St. John shocked 10th-ranked Creighton, ending their five-game win streak.
Rutherford looks inside. Corner jump. Dunn is good!
Wow.
Rasheem Dunn hits from the near side.
From Learfield, 91-71, the final score. NHL, the Capitals got two goals from Alex Ovechkin as they snapped a four-game road losing streak, topping the Wild in Minnesota.
Now winding up a shot, they score! Alex Ovechkin from the top of the left circle!
On WJFK, Washington wins 4-3, and the Flyers won their sixth straight 5-3 over the Rangers. This is Rich Cantu, ABC
Taking
Sport.
A look at the regional final basketball scores from Saturday night in girls action. Hanover defeated Frankfort 47-43 and Centralia cruised by Burlingame 60-43. On the boys' side, Frankfort beat Washington County 47-39 and Centralia defeats Valley Falls 64-45. All teams in the regional finals qualify for sub-state on March 5th. And Marysville wrestlers finished runner-up as a team at the state wrestling tournament. Johnny Cromie finished as state champion. Isaac Novotny, Noah Ackerman, and Garen Shampoo finished fourth. Storm Slupianic placed sixth, and Elise Rose was second in the girls' tournament. Again, Marysville finishes second at the state wrestling tournament. Congratulations, Bulldogs.
Monday night broadcast action, Marysville boys at 6 on AM 1570, FM 94.1. Valley Heights girls at 7 on FM 95.5.
Good Monday morning. I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck, with your latest agricultural news here on the Mid-America Ag Network. Britain is threatening to back out of trade talks with the EU if Brussels insists on imposing its trade rules on the UK, complicating prospects for the US striking a deal with London. The EU insists Britain follow EU product standard rules to continue to have tariff and quota-free access to Europe's huge market. But Prime Minister Boris Johnson says that would make Brexit meaningless, and he threatens to pull out of talks with the EU in June and go it alone unless Britain has control of its own law. That would further complicate the talks between UK and the United States that hinge on the final UK and EU trade rules and future limits on U.S. ag imports. And if a seamless trade continues in Ireland with the South still in the EU, American Farm Bureau trade advisor Dave Solomonson says talks with the three are intertwined. The question for U.S.-UK talks is where Britain ends up with the EU and how much pressure the U.S. exerts on Brussels in its own talks. At last month's annual Ag Outlook Forum, USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue described earlier talks with former European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker.
The EU frustratingly has been somewhat recalcitrant in their willingness to address the issues that we have on our plate. We were very firm about them when Juncker came here that agriculture would be part of the discussions. They've been very firm that agriculture would not be, and that's a challenge. So the president's prepared to use whatever leverage he may have.
That includes already imposed metal tariffs and automobile tariff threats. That, as the European Union.
From AgView.net, I'm Ken Rogers with Ag News. A recent federal appeals court ruling has tightened eligibility for ethanol blending waivers. waivers. As a result, the Trump administration on track to stop approving so many waivers it'd been handing out to oil refiners. It is a major win for corn growers and biofuel producers, but refiners and oil state lawmakers asking the president to step in. 13 Republican senators sent the president a letter warning that the 10th Circuit Court decision, if applied nationally, would jeopardize nearly all small refiners and raise gas prices for U.S. drivers. They're asking Trump to file a petition for a rehearing and potentially seek a Supreme Court review of the decision. The White House long been struggling to strike a balance between oil and agriculture in their standoff over the renewable fuel standard. The January court decision made it more difficult for the president to find a compromise on an issue that has angered farmers more than any other administration policy, including the trade war. Top European Union trade officials say Europe seriously wants a trade agreement with the U.S., but EU political leaders still won't negotiate on significant agriculture policies. Bernard Lang is chair of the European Parliament's Committee on International Trade, and he was in D.C. this past week to talk to lawmakers and administration officials. Reporters questioned him about the U.S. demands that the EU reduce its ag tariff and non-tariff barriers for U.S. farm commodities. On agriculture, he says, everyone knows that this simply is not possible. Lang was in the nation's capital to try to kickstart the stalled trade talks. Visiting with staff in Senator Chuck Grassley's office, the members told Lang that agriculture should be in any deal. It's Ag News from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers.
It's time again for Farming America. I'm Steve Alexander with information about the world's most important industry. Agriculture, of course, the three C's and one S, China, coronavirus, corn, and soybeans. After this.
Orion here. And if you are looking to increase your profit per acre, and who isn't these days, then I urge you to check out Flora. FLURA has cultivated premium genetic hemp strains from a company of innovators, farmers, and researchers that deliver the highest quality seeds and the infrastructure you need to support your farming operation. Call Jeffrey at 312-206-1864. Check out flora.com.
Greg Groh is with Archer Financial Services, and it has been a tough year. Let's go ahead and call it a tough couple of years, with Harvest 19 turning into Harvest 20. Still a lot of corn out there.
True. Up in North Dakota, there's still quite a bit of corn waiting to come in, and we'll see if they get a chance here in April.
But even with all that unharvested corn, there's a lot of corn out there.
We've got plenty of corn. Our ending stocks are large, despite some of this corn still being held in the fields. The demand side of the equation, as you know, has been weak, and especially the export side. So there'll be plenty of corn to go around.
The big demand question is all about China and coronavirus right now, and what's being done to, well, try to alleviate that.
Well, they've taken some extremely strident steps to try and contain this. It has certainly had a negative impact on their economy near term. If the thing starts to abate a little bit, certainly there'll be some restocking. But it has certainly taken an edge off their economy and slowed their growth and thereby diminished general demand for all commodities heading into China.
So what's the gut feeling that this thing may run its course by the middle of the year and then exports to China will come roaring back?
Well, I don't think that the roaring part of it's going to be all that prevalent for us. Demand should come back, but the aspect of velocity and how much demand is going to be there, it's a real question mark. The Phase 1 trade agreement that was signed early in the year provided some optimism and some certainty, along with the trade agreement between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S., but demand has remained soft. Global demand, global economic growth seems to be slowed, especially in Europe and areas, and now we see this change. It's occurring in Asia, in the impact, and it certainly calls into question what kind of demand prospects we're going to have this year.
You mentioned the fulfillment of Phase 1. Do you see that happening, but just over a much longer period of time?
Well, I think it calls into question whether or not China will be able to make its obligations on a Phase 1 agreement. And certainly, you know, we saw a lot of optimism originally as this thing started to get signed, but we haven't seen the business. Certainly that's going to be watched very closely here.
Is there demand elsewhere that might pick up the slack from China?
Well, I think that's going to be the question because global supplies remain historically large. South America is coming into a very big crop, it appears, especially in Brazil. Soybean yields, from what I've heard, are a record in many cases. Looks like a big crop there. This is going to be our big competitor as we go into the new crop year.
Greg Groh of Archer Financial Services, back after this.
Get on target with the very best Hereford and Angus seed stock at the On Target Bull Sale Saturday, March 21st at 1 o'clock at the Marshall County Fairgrounds in Blue Rapids. Featuring 26 yearling plus 6 18-month-old Hereford bulls and 10 yearling heifers from Spring Hill Herefords, plus 27 Angus bulls and 8 Angus heifers from Alcove Cattle Company. Auction broadcast on DV Auction. To see the catalog and videos, go online to OnTargetBullSale.com. For calving ease, performance, feedlot efficiency, and carcass quality, it's the On Target Bull Sale, Saturday, March 21st, at the Marshall County Fairgrounds in Blue Rapids.
Farming America is a presentation of the Nexstar Media Group. I'm Steve Alexander.
It's 7:30 from KNDY. 31 degrees outside, 51 are forecast high today with some clouds.
Kansas Mid-America Network Sports, good Monday. Kansas guard Devin Dotson shared a laugh with Kansas State counterpart Cartier Diera at midcourt as the final seconds ticked down on the top-ranked Jayhawks nip-and-tuck victory at Bramblage Coliseum on Saturday. In their first meeting since the Jayhawks and Wildcats took a brawl to the stands, Dotson poured in 25 points to help Kansas absorb the loss of bruising center Udoka Azubuike for long stretches. And the Kansas Jayhawks held down the stretch for its 62-58 victory Saturday that gave them sole possession of first place in the Big 12. Up next for the Wildcats, they'll take on Oklahoma State. That game to be played Wednesday in Stillwater. For the Jayhawks, they'll be in action on Wednesday as they take on the TCU Horned Frogs. That game to be played in Lawrence with a 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday night. Mid-America Network Sports.
High school regional basketball finals were held in Frankfort Saturday night. In the girls' bracket, top-seeded Hanover holds on to defeat the two-seed Frankfort 47-43. Hanover was led by Cadley Stahlbaumer with 15 points and Tiana Lozzi added in 12. Kennan Brandt led Frankfort in scoring with 16 points and Allie Tomer had 14. Both Hanover and Frankfort will move on to sub-state play March 5th. In the boys' regional final, third seed Frankfort upended top seed Washington County 46-39. Gavin Cornielson led the way for the Wildcats with 16 points, followed by Bryce Stoll with 8. Washington County was led by Kobe Hoover with 18 points. And Frankfort and Washington County will play in the boys' sub-state tournament March 5th. Reporting KNDY Sports, I'm Ben Keller. Taking a look at the regional final basketball scores from Saturday night in girls action, Hanover defeated Frankfort 47-43 and Centralia cruised by Burlingame 60-43. On the boys' side, Frankfort beat Washington County 47-39 and Centralia defeats Valley Falls 64-45. All teams in the regional finals qualify for sub-state on March 5th. And Marysville wrestlers finished runner-up as a team at the state wrestling tournament. Johnny Cromie finished as state champion. Isaac Novotny, Noah Ackerman, and Garen Shampoo finished fourth. Storm Slupianic placed sixth, and Elise Rose was second in the girls' tournament. Again, Marysville finishes second at the state wrestling tournament. Congratulations, Bulldogs.
Substate basketball tips off Monday and Tuesday. Top seed Marysville boys host KC Bishop Ward Monday evening at 6. Top seed Valley Heights girls host McClough Monday evening at 7. Marysville live on AM 1570, FM 94.1. Valley Heights live on FM 95.5. 1A substate pairings at Marysville. Thursday night boys, St. John's Tipton plays Gossel at 6. Frankfort boys, 18-6, meet Valley Falls, 16-7, at 7:30. Friday night girls, Centralia, 16-8, takes on St. John's Tipton, 18-5, at 6. And Frankfort girls, 15-9, meet undefeated Rural Vista at 7:30. 1A substate at Riley County, Thursday night boys, Washington County, 18-5, plays Centralia, 14-9, in the late game at 7:30. Friday night girls, Hanover, 21-1, tips off with Little River, 14-9, at 6.
Winter can still pack a powerful punch, even with spring just weeks away. It's a dive into the March weather archives today from the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Kansans have a new choice from Medicare Supplement Insurance Plans. With Medicare Supplement Insurance Plans from Kansas Farm Bureau, you have access to four levels of coverage, affordable rates, and service from an organization that served Kansans for more than 100 years. For more information on Kansas Farm Bureau Medicare Supplement Plans, including rates and to apply, visit kfbhealthplans.com. Medicare Supplements insured by Members Health Insurance Company, Columbia, Tennessee. Not connected with or endorsed by U.S. or state government. This is a solicitation of insurance. A representative of Kansas Farm Bureau Health Plans may contact you.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep, and you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9995. Call 1-800-312-9995. That's 1-800-312-9995. Again, that's 1-800-312-9995.
With more practical tips and useful advice, this is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report for Monday, March 2nd, the 62nd day of the year. Singer Karen Carpenter was born on this day. The motion picture King Kong premiered on this night in 1933, and 150 years ago this month, the first recorded use of the word blizzard as a weather term turned up in an Iowa newspaper. Up until that time, the word blizzard was most commonly used to describe a flurry of punches or a burst of gunfire, most likely German in origin. Some of recorded history's most epic blizzards, in fact, have occurred in March, including the Northern Plains Storm of 1941, which some call the worst of the modern era. It just goes to show that anything can happen in March, and usually does. That is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report. Find more weather history plus your local forecast at almanac.com.